Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Friday, September 11th, 2015. I'm your host today, Scott Burton, in for Andy Klein. On today's show, we'll learn about tomorrow's Recovery Fest at Twin Lakes. We'll find out about the second Saturday Farmers Market at the Airport Shopping Mall. Yoga and Kirtan instructor Sarana Miller will be here to tell us about workshops this weekend at Rainforest Yoga. And we'll get the details about this year's Rotary Brewfest. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon. It's currently 59 degrees out at the Juno Airport.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The principal chief of the Muscogee Creek Nation in Oklahoma says he does not plan on signing a resolution regarding the tribe's September 19th election. The tribal council voted this week to have an outside group monitor. In a statement, George Tiger said the tribe needs to be careful to protect tribal sovereignty. He has 10 days to sign the resolution. It's been more than a month since the Gold King mine waste spill. The release in Colorado of about 3 million gallons of contaminated water created a plume which flowed down the Animas and San Juan rivers. The incident caused hardships for many Navajo farmers and livestock owners in the Four Corners who rely on the San Juan River as a primary water source.
It's a scary feeling. It's really sad. It's like our life has ended.
Margaret Johnson and her family have lived in the Upper Fruitland, New Mexico area for as long as she can remember. The spill, Margaret says, tripled the daily workload and caused physical and mental stress. On a hot August day, a little more than 2 weeks after the spill, Margaret was waiting for her husband, who was hauling water for livestock, as a pig pushed around a water bucket. The family has a number of animals, birds, show animals, and some miniature goats Margaret lovingly pets.
You're naughty.
Some are her grandkids raised for the 4-H club. Others are part of Navajo culture and a source of food.
When we had kids, my mom told us, you know what? She said, always have a sheep. A inata, which is life. Sheep is life. I mean, everybody should have at least a sheep. So that's how we started with my kids.
While Margaret shares much of what she has, other farmers and livestock owners rely on what they grow and raise for income. A band at a flea market in the nearby town of Shiprock plays while a vendor sells a staple in the area, corn. A truckload includes raw and steamed corn.
And these are still kind of warm. We just took them out, so they're nice and little warm there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any of you guys want to try some?
Around the corner are a number of food vendors. Inside one food stand, customers order from the menu, which includes roast ribs and a variety of different stews.
Yeah, fried ribs.
Food is not only sold here for the community and visitors to enjoy, but people from different areas of the vast Navajo reservation buy produce. Many people with farms along the river were not prepared for an event where they could not use the water. Having to buy water tanks to haul water, and livestock owners buying hay, which means out-of-pocket expenses. The spill's devastation caused some farmers to let go of some crops, and alfalfa farmers only one cut of hay. There was also cultural and spiritual hurt and concerns about long-term impacts. Back at Margaret Johnson's farm, she sits under the shade, reflecting on the unknown future.
Is it going to be the same, or are we ruined forever? It's an awful, awful thing. The people who sell their produce, who's going to want to buy it? They're going to say, oh, no, we're not going to buy it, because they're going to think that it was contaminated already.
Despite what's happened, Margaret says she's thankful and counts her blessings daily. Water from the San Juan River was shut off to Navajo farmers for more than 3 weeks after the spill. Some communities have started using river water for irrigation again, while others refuse it. The Navajo Nation is working on recovery efforts as tribal officials and U.S. lawmakers demand answers from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, which caused the spill. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Supported by the National Indian Education Association, an inclusive Native organization representing Native students, educators, families, communities, and tribes. Membership registration available at niea.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Friday, September 11th, 2015. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. Scott Burton, your host, and joining me in the studio now is Carol Lee Nelson. You may know her as the director of Haven House, and she's also a participant in this month, Recovery Month, and also tomorrow's Recovery Fest at Twin Lakes. Welcome to the show, Kara.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Nice to have you on the show. Let's start out, talk a little bit about Recovery Fest tomorrow, some of the details. When does it start? What's it all about?
Okay. Well, tomorrow the festivities will be at Twin Lakes at 2 p.m. is when we'll start with some music, and it will go till 6 p.m., and there are several events going on in between there. Want me to go through
please
that?
Please do.
Okay.
Please do.
So around 12:30, we'll just welcome everyone, and we have an amazing MC who was our MC last year as well. And we're also going to have a performance by the All Nations Children's Dance Group. And then the big event that I'm really excited about is the Dunk Tank, and that should be around 3:45 to 4:30. And if you ever wanted to come and hang out with your awesome probation officers in Juneau, both field probation officers and institution, they have graciously accepted doing this fundraiser for the Juneau Community Organization. And we will be dunking our favorite POs. So you don't want to miss that. And then we will have a few speakers. We'll have Sam Keto, Ernestine Hayes, who is a professor, you know, at UAS. She's amazing. Albert Wall, who is also the director of Division of Behavioral Health. And then we're going to have an awards ceremony, and there'll be three individuals that will be receiving awards for all the work that they do here in our community just to bring wellness and recovery to Alaska and Juneau.
All right. So during September, we've had you and several other individuals who are part of the recovery community here on the show. So I think our listeners are pretty familiar with what's going on, but in case someone's just tuning in, will you tell us a little bit about Recovery Month and why it's important?
Sure. Recovery Month, I believe, has been around for about 25 years, and don't quote me on that. But it really was to come out and celebrate recovery, because it was actually started by SAMHSA, which is the federal grants for behavioral health, and then just has really turned into a huge event across the country. And so we all gather together in September, each state and communities, and we just come together to celebrate recovery, because there are 23 million people in recovery today, and we need to be standing up and really celebrating that, because it is the solution to addiction that we have.
And you are a person in long-term recovery.
I am.
Why is something like this, maybe Recovery Fest or having a month, what has that meant to you, and how does it affect people?
Well, I am a person in long-term recovery, and what that means is I have not used a drink or a drug in over 4 years. That also means that I'm able to do amazing things in our community. I get to be a mother. I graduated from college, and I get to share that gift with other people. And one of the things that I really feel obligated to do as a person in long-term recovery is really speak out in the solution, because we hear a lot about the addiction part of it and the ugly, the wreckage that it causes, which it does. My family went through that. But the solution is recovery, and so we are kind of walking around as evidence, to know that it does work and it's here.
And how does it feel for you to be at events like Recovery Fest?
I love it. I mean, we, you know, as the director of Haven House and a person in long-term recovery, I really have a passion to advocate for recovery supports. And so we do this all year round, but to come together with different agencies and organizations and individuals, it really just brings it together to show the community at large, because a lot of times we're in this every day and we forget, like, other people, you know, aren't. And so it's amazing to share just the hope of recovery for everyone.
Okay. Who would you like to see tomorrow? Who should go?
Well, everybody should come. You know, recovery is for everyone. The community, you know, within the recovery community, we really, it's not only for people in long-term recovery or people striving for recovery. It's really for individuals who support recovery, communities. You know, we've all been affected. There, I don't know one person that has not been affected by the devastation of addiction. And so, especially right now with the epidemic with opioid deaths and just a lot of tragedy going on, that we do have a solution. It is recovery. And so I really just feel like right now everyone should be there at least to educate and see that it really does work.
Okay. I have a question. As a person in long-term recovery, thinking of those around you and maybe thinking back when you weren't long-term yet or you were just beginning the recovery process, what's the best way that somebody can be around you? If you will. What can they do to support you the best?
For me personally?
Sure.
Well, and just people in recovery. Right now, it's very difficult at times to find supports. I get calls constantly from friends, family members who need help for people they know or for themselves. And so just really highlighting, because we need to break the stigma. That's probably the biggest reason why people do not get help, is because of the stigma attached to addiction. And so we see that with Haven House as well. And it's really an inspiration to show that, yes, that is what active addiction looks like, but this is what recovery looks like. It's completely different, and it is a transformation.
Okay. So tomorrow starts at 2, is
yes.
that right? Recovery Fest, and goes till about 6.
Yep.
And you can dunk your favorite parole
yes.
officer.
Dave Wilson, he's my superstar, and I believe Bresler, Marcus Bresler, and Lily, I know you're out there. You said you would.
Is there a cost for this event?
No, there's no cost for the event. There will be there'll be a barbecue. So I believe there's going to be a small charge for that, and I should know that, but I do not. And then, of course, the dunk tank itself is a fundraiser, but everything else is free. There's going to be, you know, just fun, live music, games, kid-friendly for sure. Last year was the first time we had Recovery Fest, and we had no idea how it was going to turn out. And it was the most beautiful, amazing event. And so thank you, Katie Chapman at NCAD, for really heading that up and being a leader for those of us to follow.
And that's the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence?
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, Kara Lee Nelson, thank you so much for coming in today. We've been talking about Recovery Fest. It's tomorrow at Twin Lakes starting at 2. And, yeah, what else, Kara?
I just want to mention our sponsors real
Please
quick
do.
That helped make this happen, which is NCAD, the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependency, Juno Youth Services, the Advisory Board on Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Haven House, Juno, Gastineau Human Services, and JAMI.
All right. Thank you so much, Kara. Anything else?
Nope. Just rally on recovery. Woo!
Thanks.
City and Borough of Juneau Local Emergency Planning Committee is hosting a Community Preparedness Expo on September 11th and 12th at Centennial Hall. Browse a wide variety of information booths, attend presentations throughout the event, and participate in special activities. Have fun while learning how to support those who trust you to take care of them through life's everyday emergencies or a full-scale disaster. Admission is free and there will be daily drawings for door prizes. Who depends on you? Your preparedness could save their lives. For information or vendor registration, go to juno.org and look under Hot Topics.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon here on Friday, September 11th. It's about 18 minutes past the hour. Scott Burton, your host, in today for Andy Klein. And with me now in the studio is Bonnie Herbold. She's a participant in the second Saturday Farmers Market. She's also the owner and operator of Riverside Herbs. Is that right, Bonnie?
That is correct.
All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
All right. So second Saturday Farmers Market. It's been going on since about 2011.
Correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're over there at the Airport Shopping Mall, which is by AIH.
Correct.
If anyone, or Donna's, or Valley Auto, right there in that parking lot.
Yes.
All right. Tell us what it looks like. How many folks participate?
Well, we have 18 spaces, and the shape of the hallway is kind of like an L. So it goes all the way to the back of the building. And I'm happy to say that there are 17 people signed up, and we're looking for one more person to take up the 18th space. And I can give you the telephone number for getting that.
Mm-hmm. If you're the third caller, no, just go ahead.
321-4747, and that's Michelle's telephone number, and she organizes everything on paper.
Okay.
So I also have a listing of future second Saturdays. Basically, we're pretty well booked up, but there's always a chance that you can find a space there. So October 10th will be the next one after tomorrow, which is September 12th. Then November 14th and December 12th.
Okay.
So also, if you wanted some more information about the market, you could go to www.junosecondsaturday.com, and you can find out more information there.
Okay.
So a little bit about what's happening tomorrow. The hours are from 10 until 3, and we are going to be inside. And we have Joe Orsi, who is an organic producer from here in town, and he's famous for his garlic, potatoes, carrots, and zucchini. I'm not sure if he still has zucchini, but I'm sure he's got garlic. Then we have another person who likes to cook, and Cindy Hartman Moore has food items, which include soup, so we get fed at lunchtime, and she has muffins, cookies. And she does incredible sewing for table runners. And she has those so for every holiday and just no holiday, and they're beautiful. And Judy Andre is bringing in jewelry that she hand-beaded. Shannon West has a variety of caramel corn, which is to die for. And she has a microwave bowl, which is kind of like a hot pad that you can set your bowl in, this hot pad, and then use it in the microwave. So I've never seen one of those before, but they're great. I was demonstrated this past day or so. Then there's Wendy Beebe, who's a paper crafting person, who has cards, boxes, and various gift boxes and seasonal. Her designs change with the seasons. Carol Shriver, who was one of the original founders of the market, is going to be bringing jelly, yard art, which is concrete mushrooms. I'm looking forward to seeing what those look like. And she has baked goods, and she's a good pie maker. Amber Bennett has hand-painted Christmas ornaments. So she's preparing for the future use of those. Makes good gifts also. And Jennifer Harrelston makes kids jewelry. So And the name of her business is Fit for a Princess. So those have got to be pretty exciting. Susan Suja Hall makes handmade cards, handmade glass beads, necklaces, jewelry, earrings, and bracelets. So that will be a beautiful place to stop at. Colleen Torrance has the baskets, the longer burger baskets and cookware, which are really beautiful pieces of work. Brittany Wallings is making kids play masks. So, you know, for next month, that might be useful for designing something for Halloween. And the last person or group is the American Cancer Society, and they are doing a fundraiser. And I will mention that Riverside Herbs will be there, too.
Yeah, and tell us what you do.
I bottle extra virgin olive oil and balsamic vinegars, and they're really good quality. And this week I bottled some Bacalutti, very hot chili olive oil.
Okay. How did you get into this?
Well, a friend of mine was starting a business down in Washington, and he knows the people who own the importing business. And so he sent me up a box. He sent me up maybe 8 boxes of various things. And I took them to a market because I was, like, selling strawberry plants at that farmer's market first thing in the summer. And so I had the olive oils there, and it was just like everybody's eyes were lighting up. And I went, oh, I'm onto something here. So from that point on, I've been doing it.
Yeah, I've heard that many of the olive oils that we get here in America are different from what they have in Europe. Is that true?
I think that some of the olive oils that we have in the store don't compare with the products that I have. And the olive oils come from Australia, South America, Mediterranean, California, and they enter them into contests, and they win year after year because they have the proper ways of measuring how much irrigation needs to be done, and also they test the chemistry. So they know exactly when they need to harvest, and they press within 24 hours.
Like winemaking, sort of, right?
It is kind of like winemaking. My bottles look like wine bottles, but they aren't.
What's been your most popular flavor?
Well, I have an 18-year-old balsamic vinegar, which is traditional, and that seems to go well. I'm always trying new things. So in the beginning, it was pomegranate. Now I'm not sure what it is. It could be Vermont maple for balsamics. And then the oils are, I usually have a setup where I go from mild to robust. And so you get a chance to test yourself for what is most acceptable to your mouth and tasting. But also it gives you a chance to just sample.
Okay. So this is, if you want to sample all of these olive oils or balsamic vinegars or all that long list, sounds like a huge variety of goods. Tomorrow at the airport shopping mall from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., is there a cost to get in, Bonnie?
Oh, no. Not at all.
And it sounds like there's going to be stuff to eat there for lunch and stuff, but also vegetables to take home if you want. And
I would suggest for the vegetables of Orsi's, get there early because okay. He's very popular.
All right, Bonnie Herbold, she owns Riverside Herbs, and she will be participating in the second Saturday Farmers Market tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. Out at the airport shopping mall. Bonnie, are we missing anything?
I think I covered quite a bit of ground.
Great. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie's farm no more. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. Well, I wake up in the morning, pull my hands and pray for rain. I got a head full of ideas that are driving me insane. And it's a shame the way she makes me scrub the floor. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's brother no more. And he hands you a dime. He asks you with a grin, are you having a good time? And he finds you every time you slam the door. Well, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. Maggie's pa no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's pa no more. He puts his cigar out in your face just to kick. And his bedroom window is made out of bricks. And the National Guard stands around his door. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's pa no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's ma no more. Well, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's ma.
Support comes from Alaska Island Community Services. If you're a parent and you smoke, here's what one child has to say about this.
I wish you'd quit smoking because there's so much of my life I want you to be a part of, like taking me to wrestling practice, teaching me to throw baseball for Little League, catching my first derby fish, watching me graduate from high school, and watching my kids, your grandchildren, grow and play. I wish you would stop smoking because there's so much both of us will miss out on.
This message brought to you by the Partnership for Tobacco-Free Southeast and Search.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Friday, September 11th. It's about 30 minutes after the hour. Scott Burton, your host today, in for Andy Klein. I've been joined in the studio now by Bev Ingram. She is the founding board members, or the founding board member of Rainforest Yoga. Welcome to the show, Bev.
Thanks so much for having us.
Nice to have you. And next to her is Sarana Miller. She's visiting Juno. She's a yoga and kirtan instructor. Welcome, Sarana.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bev, let's start with you. I just learned that Rainforest Yoga is a nonprofit that's been around for 10 years.
That's correct.
Yeah. Tell us how it came to be.
Well, I think it was the closing of the Yoga Den, for those people that remember the Yoga Den. And there was a group of dedicated students and teachers who wanted to see yoga continue, but no one wanted to own and manage a yoga studio. And our vision is that we promote yoga in this community, a vital yoga community, by spreading the art, science, and philosophy of yoga.
Okay. And how did, I'll ask both of you as we go through the show, but what is it about yoga that inspired you to start? Maybe.
That's a good question. Could be a long answer, but I'll shorten it down. I think that actually I started as a troubled adolescent, and that was my first introduction, and I felt better afterward. I felt more connected, and so I kept dabbling in it for many years until it really kind of solidified in the last 20-some years as a practice for me. Yeah.
How about you, Sarana?
I found yoga actually in college and was just taking a class a week during college as a way to balance out the athletics I was involved in during college. And it was right after college. I woke up one morning and I had extreme pain in my neck. And I was practicing yoga, but I realized that I had to really deepen my practice and I had to really commit if I was going to be free of pain at such a young age. So it was initially pain, actually, but then the more I practiced, the more I found just relief in just physical ways, but also just a greater sense of well-being emotionally. And just those rocky early 20s, trying to figure out who I was times, it was this harbor where I felt a sense of happiness and peace. And just that I continued to kind of feed it and find teachers who were inspiring to me throughout my 20s.
Now, it's probably a big part of both of your lives. How many days do you practice each?
Well, I'd like to say every day on some level. It varies every day what that level may look like. Yeah.
Yeah, same. I mean, my goal is to, in the morning, wake up and do some form of practice each day. And it does vary. From some days I have 15 minutes, some days I have 2 hours. It really does vary. And some days I don't make it to the mat or I don't make it to the cushion. Because currently, you know, for me, meditation is really a really important part of what practice means to me, as well as the physical movement postures.
Could you imagine your life without it, yoga and or meditation?
No, not really. I think I would be crazy.
Maybe I am, but anyway, but it's helped.
Yeah, physically, if I don't practice for a little while, my body gets really cranky. And as far as my way I am with myself, with my partner, with my family, my practice really helps to create more evenness and more harmony with my relationships as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bev, tell us about these workshops this weekend and what else you have going on.
Yes, fall is a good time to transition into yoga or transition back into yoga. So we're starting this month of September with this transitioning into the fall with Sarana Miller as our guest instructor. And that'll be tonight, Friday night, a restorative practice from 5:30 to 7:30. And tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 to 12, there's still a few slots available. So if people showed up, that would be fine. Also, we have free for teachers to come to yoga this month as sort of the back-to-school transition that's happening. So I want to spread the word there for all the good work that teachers do in our community and the need for keeping them balanced as well through the practice of yoga. And we have a Global Mala Project, which is a national project that's celebrating National Yoga Month this month. And that'll be happening September 20th, 108 Sun Salutations, or come and do as many as you'd like at 12:30 at the studio. And that's also part of a sort of national effort and for part of the fall equinox, too. That's going on.
And folks can learn about all of this at rainforestyoga.org?
Yes, that's right. So all this, plus much more, classes and other workshops we're offering are available on rainforestyoga.org. Yeah.
Sarana, can you outline again the classes you're going to teach this weekend and tell folks what they can expect?
Yeah. Well, tonight's class from 5:30 to 7:30 will be all what we call poses that are restoratives. These are passive poses done over props, and they're long-held poses. And the focus here is relaxing the nervous system and allowing some rejuvenation for the organ systems and just your general sense of rest and well-being. So it's a quiet practice tonight. Nice end of the week, Friday night, just a way to begin the weekend and restore. And then.
And sorry to interrupt. What level?
All levels.
Okay.
Yeah, all levels. Everyone's welcome.
Okay. Okay.
And the way I teach, I like to move in a slow, steady pace. So everyone's welcome to join. And then tomorrow from 9 to 12, it'll be we'll begin with some meditation and some kirtan, which is call and response chanting, just a very simple form of chanting, which it's very simple. It just basically helps to center the mind and connect into the heart center. So it's a really sweet practice and a great way to begin any practice. And then from there, we'll just start slow with some easy opening for the hips and shoulders, then move into some more active standing poses.
Okay, and Bev, you said there is room in both classes still?
Yes, it's getting tight tonight. There's a couple slots, and tomorrow a few more.
If they want to join tonight, what should they do right now?
They could they can just show up at the studio, or they could call me at 209-8289, just to make sure there's a spot at.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you have a fun weekend ahead of you, both of you. People can go to rainforestyoga.org. What else? Anything else folks should know?
Well, I've been in Haines all summer teaching up in Alaska, and I just love being here. I'm happy to be in Juneau right now, and I'll head back to California.
Oh, yeah. Where's your home base?
I home base in California, down in Berkeley. So I teach throughout California and in Mexico as well. But I just love being in Alaska, and I've been here for the last 3 months.
What's teaching yoga added to your enjoyment of it?
I love watching how students' bodies change over time. And also just
For example,
I had a guy come in. He had spinal cancer. He came in completely hunched over. He couldn't sit up straight at all. And he wasn't very old. He just hadn't worked on his posture. He had a lot of health difficulties. And I worked with him for maybe 3 or 4 years once a week. And he came every week for 3 or 4 years. And his body changed. He was able to sit up straight. He was able to draw his shoulders back and bring his head over his shoulders. And the look on his face from being kind of downtrodden and a little bit gray and just a little bit defeated to watching him get lighter and happier and just the smile on his face when he walked in. He was just elated that he was able to walk into a class and practice, because he had gotten to the point where he thought he had lost confidence and kind of lost his sense of being in his body. So that's a bigger story, but just as simple as, you know, women coming with busy lives and children. And this is their 1 hour a week that they have for themselves. And it's really just precious for them to have an hour a week that they can be without their children, just for them on their mat. And I like to be that that person that helps to hold that space for them.
Bev, those are some great stories. And thinking of the skeptic out there, the person that's never practiced yoga before, what would you add?
Well, and maybe you're one of those. And you could come tonight, Scott. So I think I would like to dispel the myth, and I hear this a lot, is that I can't do yoga, I'm not flexible. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So if you can breathe, you can do yoga. Mm-hmm. And yoga takes you where you're at, and it's not competitive. And I think we do see more women than men, but we also have a variety of classes for all levels. And taking that first step, I think, is hard, mm-hmm. and finding the right match for you in which class, which instructor. But I think there's many options available here in Juneau. We're very fortunate that way, as well as other studios, as well as Rainforest Yoga. And I want to support people to get there.
Well, Bev Ingram, she's a founding board member of Rainforest Yoga, and Sarana Miller, she is a guest instructor of yoga and kirtan. You can meet them both at Rainforest Yoga this weekend. Different classes that you can check out at rainforestyoga.org. Sarana and Bev, anything else you want to add?
No, thanks so much, Scott, for hosting us.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
See you later.
Great.
The Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 11th of September, 2015. It was on this date, 1941, ground was broken for the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. In July of that same year, Brigadier General and Engineer Brian B. Somerville had summoned two of his subordinates. He told them to draw up plans for an office building 4 stories tall to cover 4 million square feet and to house 40,000 War Department workers. Gave them the assignment on a Thursday afternoon, said he wanted the plans on his desk by Monday. Plans were there on Monday. Construction began 2 months later. 16 months later, the Pentagon was complete. It was on this date, 1792, the Hope Diamond was stolen. Came from a mine in India. It was originally about 112 carats, but King Louis XIV of France had it recut into a 67-carat heart shape, which he wore on a ribbon around his neck. But during the French Revolution, on this date, 1792, the treasury was looted, the crown jewels were stolen, and the Hope diamond was lost. It turned up in London 20 years later. A stone which is rumored to be cursed. It is said that the merchant who sold it to Louis XIV had stolen it from a statue of a Hindu idol. He was later torn apart by wild dogs, and subsequent owners have suffered financial ruin and personal tragedies and violent deaths. It now rests in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. It's the birthday of William Sidney Porter, O. Henry, born Greensboro, North Carolina, 1862. O. Henry, who said, "You can't write a story that's got any life in it by sitting at a writing table and thinking. You've got to get out into the streets, into the crowds, talk with people, and feel the rush and throb of real life. That's the stimulant for a story writer." It's the birthday of D.H. Lawrence, David Herbert Lawrence, born Eastwood, England, 1885, author of Sons and Lovers, Women in Love, Lady Chatterley's Lover. D.H. Lawrence, who wrote, "No form of love is wrong so long as it is love, and you yourself honor what you are doing." Here's a poem for today by Barbara Cooker. "Away in Virginia, I see a mustard field and think of you. Because the blue hills are like the shoulder and slopes of your back as you sleep, often I slip a hand under your body to anchor myself to this earth. The yellow mustard rises from a waving sea of green. I think of us driving narrow roads in France, under a tunnel of sycamores, my hair blowing in the hot wind, opera washing out of the radio loud. We are feeding each other cherries from a white paper sack. And then we return to everyday life, or we fall into bed exhausted, fall asleep while still reading, forget the solid planes of the body in the country of dreams. I miss your underwear, soft from a thousand washings, the socks you still wear from a store out of business 30 years. I love to smell your sweat after mowing grass or hauling wood. I miss the weight on your side of the bed." A poem by Barbara Cooker, "Away in Virginia, I See a Mustard Field and Think of You," from her collection Radiance, published by Grayson Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering the weekly poetry podcast, Poetry Off the Shelf, featuring contemporary American poets, readings, reviews, and more. Subscriptions at poetryfoundation.org/poetrypodcast. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Saturday, September 12th, is the 6th annual Day of Play. City and Borough of Juneau Parks and Recreation and friends would like to invite you for a fun-filled day of activities throughout the city. Participate in open swim, drawing with chalk, hands-on play, basketball, storytelling, ice skating, a hot dog lunch, and more. Call 586-5226 or visit juneau.org/parkrec for more information.
Brewfest is coming. KXLL is proud to sponsor the Rotary Club of Juneau for the 4th annual Capital Brewfest, September 26th at the Jack from 1 to 5 p.m. This year there are even more participating brewers, and as always, there will be great local music and food. All proceeds benefit humanitarian works of Juneau Rotary and United Way of Southeast Alaska. Come enjoy craft brew for a cause. Tickets are limited and available now at capbrewfest.com.
speaking of that wonderful event, in the studio with us now here on a Juno afternoon is Wayne Stevens. He's the president and CEO of United Way. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you. And Ann Metcalf, she is part of Rotary of Juno, and I forget your other hats that you wear in the community, Ann.
Well, I'm retired from Alaskan Brewing Company. So I have feet in many doors.
Nice to have you on the show too.
I'm helping to organize the Brewfest.
All right, the Brewfest, September 26th, across the street at the Juno Arts and Culture Center.
Correct.
It's going to be really fun. More brewers than ever, right?
That's correct. We have our final list of participants, and I'll share them with you. If some of them are new first-time participants, this year in alphabetical order from Denali Park, we have 49th State Brewing, our own Alaskan Brewing from Juneau. Arcos is coming from Palmer. They have not been before. Baranoff from Sitka. Broken Tooth from Anchorage. Denali from Talkeetna. Haynes, again, they've come to every festival. Homer Brewing Company is coming down, and that's a first for them. We've got, we'll have Bobby Wilkins beer from Hoodoo Brewing in Fairbanks. We've got Kenai River, Midnight Sun in Anchorage, and Skagway, along with our three distributors here in Juneau who will also be pouring beer, Odom, Can-Ale, and Specialty Imports. So great lineup of beers.
A lot of beer.
Yeah, a lot of beer.
Come thirsty.
Yeah, right? Wayne, tell us about Rotary of Juneau.
Rotary of Juneau has been, I think we're in our 80th year of service to the community. We are the second club in Alaska chartered, and there are three, certainly, clubs here in Juneau. We're the Downtown Tuesday group, Glacier Valley, and the Juneau-Gastineau club. So there's three Rotary clubs here in the community, but each Rotary club has their own sort of fundraising activities, and this is one of our largest, is the Brewfest. You know, monies that we raise from this go to support United Way in part, and Rotary projects like the Tri-Club effort here recently completed out at Riverbend Elementary, where we raised funds and donated time and labor and effort to build install some brand new playground equipment for the I guess those are elementary school kids.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which level it is. Elementary school, so the little kids.
So largely philanthropical Rotary.
Absolutely.
Clubs. What else does one do when they participate in Rotary?
Well, there's, you know, obviously the regular meetings, but, you know, there's service projects, there's international service, there's local service, community service. Really, it is Rotary's motto is service above self. It's about, you know, using your place in the business community to help foster and generate service to the community projects, to international projects. Rotary is, I'm trying to do the math, coming up on almost 30 years of fighting spread of polio, and we're down to just two countries now where polio still is not under control. Pakistan and Afghanistan, I think, are the last two countries where we're trying to get kids immunized so that the devastating effects of the polio disease can no longer take their toll on people. And so we're really, after 30 years and millions of dollars raised by Rotarians and other organizations, we're so close. And I vividly remember sitting in the Rotary meeting in Kodiak, where I lived at the time, and thinking, it'll never happen in my lifetime. And here we are. If I hang on for a couple of years, I might live to see the end of polio, which would be so awesome. And it's been a tremendous effort by Rotarians across the world to raise money and support. And Rotarians who go into countries and communities to help deliver the immunizations and provide service, you know, provide clean water wells and all kinds of things for communities across the country. Across the world.
It sounds pretty good. If somebody wants to become involved with this giving organization, how do they do so?
Well, you reach out to any Rotarian. Rotarians are always willing to invite guests to the club and propose people for membership. But it's basically business people who have the time and resources to give and to be active and involved in Rotary and Rotary service.
And after all of that giving and philanthropy and hard work, now you get to drink some beer on the 26th.
It sounds like a good party.
Yeah.
A good fundraiser.
It's a fun event. It's very rewarding. And speaking of that, if you are thinking of attending Brewfest, you need to get your tickets. Ticket sales are ahead of last year. We sell 900, and they, as Junoites are typically do, they wait until the last minute, and we're a little worried that this year, if you wait till the last minute, there won't be any tickets. So the only place to buy them is online, which is www.catbrewfest.com. And we encourage you to go on. This year we have a VIP ticket available, which allows you to enter half an hour early with 99 other people and sort of get a head start on the tasting all the great beers.
And what time does it start again?
12:30 for the VIP and then 1 o'clock for everyone else, and it runs until 5.
And you enter the Jack, and I can sort of envision brewers all around the room. What's it
brewers
like?
Around the perimeter of the room. As you walk in the first main door, we have the stage to the left. We've got three full bands this year. The music is going to be fantastic. We cordon off the outside, so the food vendors will be outside under tents if there's rain. And it's a fantastic
Never
event. We've been very lucky on the weather, but it's Juno. It could be wet.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I noticed you have a big presence on Facebook at the Cap Brew Fest.
Yes. Yes, you can check us out there.
And you can get tickets at Cap Brew Fest or CapitalBrewFest.com.
Cap Brew Fest.
Cap Brew Fest, excuse me.
CapBrewFest.com.
All right. It's on September 26th. That's a Saturday, right?
That's a Saturday.
At the Jack, across the street from 12:30, if you're a VIP, which sounds pretty fun to me, or 1, and it goes till 5.
That's correct.
Well, it sounds great. You too, Wayne Stevens and Metcalf, thanks for coming in. Are we missing anything?
Well, I think it's important to let people know that part of the funds go to United Way, and United Way is kicking off their annual fundraising efforts, the workplace campaign. And so this is a much appreciated boost at the front end of the campaign. And last year, our proceeds from the event were over $5,000, and it was truly appreciated. All the people that came out and supported Brewfest and supported Rotary and supported United Way. So it really is, it's a great event. It's a great fundraiser. The work we get to do with those resources help many of our 34 partner agencies here in Southeast.
I would just also like to add there's a lot of other organizations within the community that support Capital Brewfest, Prospector, K2, all the distributors, all the brewers are donating their product. So we've also got Chara Triangle, a long list of folks in the community that support it.
And, Wayne, we should get you back to talk about United Way.
Love to do that.
Sometime. Give us a quick, tell us what you guys do.
Well, United Way is a collaborator, convener, and fundraiser for 34 partner agencies who serve communities across Southeast Alaska from Haines to Ketchikan. We have partner agencies operating in about 25 or 30 of the communities across Southeast, so that includes Cake and Angoon and Craig and the like. And so there's our primary three areas of focus are health, education, income stability. And with the education focus, Rotary has built a literacy line caboose, and we're providing young children their first books or books. Hopefully it's not their first one, but we work with AEYC and their Dolly Parton Imagination Library and Core Alaska and United Way doing the Reading Tutors program in the schools. And so it's really, lots of different organizations all working together, and United Way is the connecting piece of that puzzle.
All right. Wayne Stevens and Metcalf, we'll see you at Cap Brew Fest on September 26th at the Jack. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Scott.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Tune in again on Monday. I'll be your host, and we will talk, get an update on Polaris House. Maria Levischuk will be here to tell us about the Juno Vulnerability Index Survey. Rachel Wintz will be here to tell us about AWARE's biannual advocacy training. And we'll get an update on the Juno School District, as we often do on Mondays. As far as the weather, it's 59 degrees out at the Juno Airport. And tonight, it looks like it's going to be cloudy, with scattered showers, patchy fog late. Lows around 48. Saturday, patchy fog in the morning, numerous showers, highs around 54. Light winds becoming southeast 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Saturday night, numerous showers, lows around 46. Sunday, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, highs around 55. Light winds. And then going into next week, mostly cloudy on Monday, highs around 53. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, highs around 53. No mention of the rain word. And going into Wednesday, cloudy, chance of rain, lows around 44. See you on Monday.